Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the fifth show in April.
That's something. That's something. It's like
April 30th.
It's like a leap year show. It's like a leap show.
Yeah. April 30th.
Leap show. Well, let's talk about some of the things that are happening, because a lot of interesting things are happening, and because we're seeing that markets are at all-time highs, or very close to them. Even as markets seem to go up, they stay up. When they go down, they go up anyway. I mean, today the markets were down half a percent to the S&P 500. The Dow is down 100 something points, and they finished on the positive side. And NASDAQ was down. We saw oil prices climb this week, then collapse, and earnings season is underway with about 50% or so of the S&P 500 companies reporting earnings. So lots of interesting things happening there. So with that in mind, market update. The S&P 500 earnings, get these little reports here. We have about 80% of companies that are now beating EPS, earnings per share. And that's due to a lot of reasons.
Is that high? That seems high.
It's high. It's usually about, this number that always sticks in my head is 73%. I don't know why, but I always see 73%. So 80% is definitely high, but we're still only halfway through. And usually on the back end, you see a little bit more disappointment. But generally, what's happening is that a lot of companies are beating this number, this earnings per share, which is the top line, the bottom line number, you know, the net earnings, the profitability of a company. And a lot of that has to do with, I hate to say it once again, but we have buybacks. We have buybacks coming in, buybacks doing it. But also, probably more importantly right now, is the fact that there has been this incredible drop in analyst earnings, the consensus earnings estimates. And we saw that after the last quarter, when people thought, oh my God, the world is ending and we're dropping all our numbers. So now companies are easily able to hike over this bar. So I think that's a big thing that's happening right now. It's not the only thing that's happening. I mean, companies are doing better than expected on a lot of metrics, but there was this real fear that we were going to see this terrible drop. Now, that being said, you still have to realize that there is there's still an earnings slowdown that's happening. Even though, you know, everybody just looks at the earnings beat. Well, let's look about what happened last year at this time. We compare a year ago and let's look at now. And we're definitely seeing, there's no question about this, we're seeing an earnings slowdown. Maybe a 1%, a 0%, or 2%, give or take, increase from a year ago. But a year ago was like, you know, the year before that was like 20% increase. So we're not seeing a lot of earnings move to the upside for many companies, yet at the same time, we're seeing all-time highs. And that has a lot to do with the Fed and liquidity and the sentiment change, because, you know, rates are a lot lower. And when you adjust and do your discounted models of looking at what a valuation of a stock is in a lower rate environment, it's a lot higher, just the way it goes. Dividend stocks are priced higher as well, because now if you can get 2.5% on a bond, but you can get a 4% dividend rate on a stock, it's like, okay, which one am I going to pick here? We also had this week Tesla finally collapsing. Finally, after all of that, where it was holding up at the 275 and 265 level and popping back up to $300, finally collapsed a day after their earnings. So the earnings came out, things were good, came down a little bit, actually went green, stayed around that. Then it was the next day, a whole day, until everybody said, oh my, that was bad. So we have
What's it closed at today?
Tesla closed at, let's see, Tesla stock, 238. It was down 60 points.
Yeah, it's a lot. I don't understand what I was thinking when I shorted Netflix instead of Tesla.
Well, we've shorted Tesla a few times with some success, yes, but not that we would have had this kind of success.
Yeah.
We're hearing about a $2 trillion infrastructure spending bill. That was all the rage today. And Democrats...
Shovel ready, baby.
Oh, it's shovel ready. And the Democrats are all over it. And President Trump's like, hey, that sounds like a good idea. Nobody talks about where the money's coming from, though. Any ideas? Any ideas? Podcast advertising,
well, if
maybe?
They audit the Pentagon, I'm sure there's more than that sitting around just in random accounts that have been abandoned. They're not going to do that.
No. That would become right after they audit the Fed.
Yeah, well, they actually do kind of audit the Fed in real time, but the Pentagon has never been audited, at least not within recent memory.
And we know that there's a lot of waste that goes on with the Pentagon.
You think?
And the big question of the day, do we sell in May?
And go away.
Possibly. But that's the old adage. Do we do it? Do we think about it? I don't know.
Tomorrow's May Day.
Yeah, tomorrow will be a decent day if all stays well with Apple. We'll talk about Apple earnings in a second. Let's go on to economics because we had some really interesting numbers. Last Friday, we saw the first quarter GDP number hit. Now, you have to remember that I will call myself out when I should call myself out here. I talked to last year about this quarter's GDP being like a problem, you know, under 2%.
Yes, because of your basic theory, and your basic theory is still valid.
It's valid, but not showing up.
The theory is valid.
Yeah.
The results of the what should be showing up is not showing up for some other reason, perhaps. But I still think the theory is good.
So the GDP hit 3.2%.
You better explain it.
So, yeah, let's first say that GDP hit 3.2%. My idea was that we had this pull forward effect that was going to happen where production was going to ramp up dramatically in the face of these higher tariffs, and companies would want to get any kind of goods they could for the manufacturing process, for the retail, whatever it may be, at a lower rate before these tariffs went into place. Now, as the tariffs were going along and where there was a potential increase in the rate as well as we went along, more and more companies would say, hey, I'm going to stockpile because I don't know where this is going to end. I don't know how it's going to end, but I want to make sure that I get this product into my inventory in order to make sure that I don't have a problem on the back end so that I don't have a pricing issue. So with that, there should have been this pull forward effect where we would see a lot of manufacturing, a lot of buying, a lot of importing, maybe even exporting right when these tariffs are announced and into this whole tariff process. And then after that, this is where the big rub happens. After that, it drops off a cliff. There's no more buying that goes on. You know, slow down over in imports and exports dramatically, and you see this inventory build. Now, what's interesting about this is that when you look at the GDP number, 3.2%, which was about, I would say, 0.8% higher than the consensus on the street. Everybody was looking for about 2.4 or so. I was thinking about 2% or maybe 1.9, 2.1, somewhere around there. Because you look at the manufacturing numbers, you look at all the different economic numbers that go into GDP, and it seemed that that should have been appropriate when you calculate it out and look at all the trends. So GDP hits 3.2%. Freaking miracle. What happened? Well, at first, what was really interesting when that number hit, the markets that morning at 8:30 on Friday jumped up, the dollar jumped up, bond prices dropped, and yields went higher. That makes a lot of sense because if you see a really good number like that, the economy's doing well, the Fed will maybe step in and the dollar gets stronger. Then all of a sudden, within 5 minutes, gold starts popping, the dollar starts dropping, yields start dropping, and the markets turn around. I'm thinking, what's going on with this? I look at the GDP numbers and I notice something very interesting. What is it? Well, 70 basis points, 0.7% of the GDP move was attributable to inventory buildup. So on one hand, you could say, well, Andrew, if you said that there's going to be all this inventory buildup because all this ahead of tariffs, well, that makes sense. The problem is that inventories, the way they go into the calculation of the GDP, I think is a little weird because you don't necessarily want to have an inventory buildup in an economy. That means one of two things. Either there's an overbuying going on because everybody is very positive about the outcome and they're going to really be generating a lot more products and selling it. So there's a positive sentiment with that. So that's good. or it's negative in that there's so much inventory because they can't get rid of the stuff. Which one is it? I don't know the answer. Retail sales have been okay, so that's not necessarily the problem. So something else is a little bit odd with this. The one thing we do know is the government has never been happy with their first quarter numbers. The first quarter has always been a little bit wonky, been a little bit weak. And they've been doing some tinkering with the calculation, with seasonality, with how it's all put together and what flows into the first quarter versus the second quarter. So I don't know if there was some shenanigans played with the GDP
number.
Do
you think there was tinkering?
Tinkering is, I know there was tinkering because they said they were going to do adjustments to this. So something is a little bit weird. The problem is that consumption was really low in the GDP number. The numbers that meant, the GDP numbers that were important were not good. And that's why we saw that roll over the markets throughout the morning. Actually went negative, and gold was skyrocketing, dollar was coming down hard. And then by the end of the day on Friday, everything turned around and went positive, just because when there's a dip of any sort, people are just buying right now. So I don't know if that was the case or whatever it was, but something was a little bit weird there. So the GDP was, and this is not just my commentary. I've been hearing it more and more the last few days that there is a concern about the quality of the GDP number that came out. That doesn't seem to bother markets, but that's kind of what's going on. It also gives,
I would buy that.
It also gives the Fed a little bit more cover. Because if the Fed was going to, if you were believing that the Fed would really be data dependent, that GDP number would say what? That they can't be so dovish, right? So
I would say, yeah, it's an indicator that, you know, they, exactly, they'd have to be, it makes them look like, I don't even know what it does.
It makes them look like they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Which is always the case with them. They're always so far off. But now that we have this underlying weakness, it gives them cover that they can say, you know what, while the economy is doing really well, while the unemployment numbers are looking good at 3.8%, while inflation is, you know, 1.8%, and even though GDP was 3.2, which should be a signal that things are better than we anticipated, fact is underlying numbers are not showing that strength, and therefore we can hold off for a little longer.
Well, let's hope that's what they're thinking.
Yeah, I think they are. They're not going to increase. There's some conversation that tomorrow, which is a rate decision day, that there could be a cut coming.
No, that'll be no way.
I'm telling you, that's what the markets are. I think they're pricing this in. I really do.
I put money on that one. That's not going to happen.
I would agree with you. But we do have limited inflation. PCE numbers came in flat. So that's the personal consumption expenditures index came in flat. Consumer income was 0.1% versus 0.4%, and spending was 0.9% versus 0.8% expected. So there is some spending going on in the face of no growth in income, which is, again, strange. Maybe they're doing it on credit. People are feeling better. Oh. They're going out and, you know, using debt.
Let's hope not.
Oh, they are. They are.
Yeah, I know they are. It's really a problem.
So we have also the continual carrot being dangled. Mnuchin says that the trade war with China is going to be resolved one way or another in the next 2 weeks. What does that mean? I mean, so we're talking about what, May 15th here. That's the date, right? 2 weeks from now? So it's going to be resolved one way or another.
Crap.
One way or another.
This is not, yeah, the other.
And they've been also talking up the whole idea that President Trump and his team will walk away from the deal if it isn't what they want. So I think that's kind of interesting.
That's not anything new with this guy. I mean, this is what his whole theory is. You have to be prepared to walk away constantly. He's always walking away.
But don't you think that that's also another side to that? So it was on one side a negotiating technique so that the Chinese ambassadors and all the people involved in government said, oh, they mean business. They may walk away from this. We got to be on our best behavior. On the other hand, the other signal is that whatever deal they get, we view it as it must have been a good deal, even if it's a crappy deal. Because if it was a crappy deal, they wouldn't have done it. They said it. They were going to walk away. So I think it subconsciously is being set up that no matter what the deal that comes into play here, is going to be a good deal and we should celebrate.
Maybe.
I think that's what they're seeding this with.
Yeah.
And even though the economy is in really great shape, by the way, with all the things with GDP and all that, do you know that today, President Trump, he tweeted and he said that he wants the Fed to reduce rates by 1% and restart quantitative easing.
Hmm.
He says that would really do wonders for the economy.
Yeah, no, I bet it would. You just throw a bunch of money in the economy.
Right, right,
yes. Well, he's president. Yep. Yeah, what a deal. What an idea.
Yeah. So I don't think that's – for a long time, everybody thought he was talking about a 50 basis point cut. And Mnuchin mentioned something. Larry Kudlow, of course, was out there stirring the pot about the Fed reducing rates. And there is some precedent. I saw a guy on CNBC talking about today how in 1995, I think it was, that the Fed started – after the rate hike process, they started all of a sudden reducing rates. They reduced rates after the market was up 25%, and then you did another reduction of rates when the market was up 34% in that time period. So everybody's thinking that they're not going to do it. That's why I'm saying I think that there's some thought that this 1995 analog is potentially what were in people's minds now, that they may actually cut rates. I don't see it because – while, of course, yes, I agree, cutting rates will do something dramatic for the markets. I don't see the economy being in that, you know, and then it removes some of the potential for what if things really do go bad and how much more room do you have? Creates bubbles, does all sorts of things here.
This is not going to end well.
No, it won't end well, but, you know, we have to, I thought today after the Google numbers that we saw, things are going to be a little bit, you know, concerning. Facebook numbers, frankly, I was not impressed with. I saw a recent chart. I should have probably put it in the show notes here, but I saw a recent chart that showed the revenue growth for the last like 10 years or so for Facebook and Apple and Google and a couple other companies. And they're all declining. This is one of the worst periods for Apple. And they came out with earnings tonight. The worst period for Apple in terms of revenue growth. I think they were like down 5% from a year ago. And the stock is on its way up. But let's
What is it that they have to offer that's going to carry them through the next 5 years, let's say?
So we can go through that because I thought the earnings were kind of boring. The biggest news is that they increased their dividend and they're going to be adding a $75 billion to their buyback plan. So that's pretty impressive. iPhone sales dropped 17%. There was actually a report from IDC out tonight that says shipments dropped 30% for iPhones over the last year. Services were up 24%. So that's all their different things like the store, various stores,
yeah,
and potentially some cloud stuff and anything related to any services that they have. Could be their music music product. Could be the Apple TV subscription services. Basically, subscription services were up 24%. That's pretty good. That's a good number. And that's what everybody's banking on, that they're going to have another cash cow there. That the people that have the iPhones and that have the various devices and that utilize all the ecosystem that Apple has put forth, that for a long time was hardware-based sales, are now going to be going into, for example, how Microsoft is all-time high. Numbers came out last week are unbelievable for Microsoft. How this, and Adobe for that matter, the subscription model where people just, you know, the Netflix where, I'll pay $5 a month, what do I care? Or whatever the number is.
Yeah, well, it works with Netflix. It's got a different kind of a thing going on. The Microsoft is really pretty reasonable. I think Adobe's a little pricey. And at some point, people are going to just stop using some of these systems. I think it's a tightrope walk. I mean, it looks great on paper, as you say, with the Microsoft numbers, and they're terrific. And Apple's going to get in. Not everybody in the world. I mean, this is like Disney's going to start its own Netflix. The subscription service model works when it's limited. In other words, not everybody and their sister is putting, you got a nickel and dime the public to death with a $5 a month here and $10 a month here and another $5 for Hulu and another $10 for this and another $10 or $99 a year for Microsoft, which is not bad because you get to split that up with five people. But the if you have a mind to.
I do. I do too.
I split all my stuff up.
Yeah. But wait, what's going to change that though? So is it that people are going to get subscription overload, or is there some other catalyst that's going to?
I think it's going to be a combination. I think subscription overload's definitely going to be part of it, where people are going to say, why am I so, I mean, they're already getting this way with a lot of cable TV stuff. How many movies did I watch on HBO, Stars, and let's see, Showtime last month on my cable bill? None. Oh, well, why am I even paying this extra money? In fact, now that I think about it, I haven't been watching anything. I gave Game of Thrones maybe a carrier that makes people want to watch. I don't know. I think it's going to be overload. You can't take it anymore. At some point, you got to take a look at your budget and say, I'm spending too much money on this crap. Why can't I just buy a good word processor?
Well, therein lies the rub right there. Because I can tell you from my personal history, and I believe this is very similar to other people, that when times are good, the excess little bitties here and there, you don't pay attention to. In 2007, as things were getting kind of wonky with the markets, and fortunately, we were at the head of the curve because I make my money from the markets. But I was ahead of the curve, and I took people out, and we kind of put them on the sidelines, and we reduced their equity positions. I reduced my equity positions. I wasn't really worried about that necessarily. However, I got very nervous. So what I did was, and I remember this very distinctly, I took a pad of paper. I walked around my office, and I walked around my house, and I started looking at all the different things that were totally unnecessary. For example, do I need that water cooler? $15 a month. No, I don't need it. Gone. I walked around and I found various things at my house that I didn't need. Talked to the gardener. Like, listen, you know, you don't need to be coming every week. Come every other week. What's the difference? How much is the grass going to grow? You cut it then. And on and on and on with various things that happened. Now, that was back then before there was all these services that are kind of just those hanger-oners right now. So I wonder if we get into a situation where there's less people working, that would be the trigger, where all of a sudden jobs are lost. When you lose your job, you got to look, okay, what am I going to do here, right? And when there's no replacement job immediately. So I think these are all very susceptible now to, just like it was before, but in a different way. Now, if you have people that are starting to look around and taking their pads out, looking to what to cut, so people will say, you know what, maybe I don't need, like you said, the Hulu and the Netflix and the Disney option and the HBO. I'll just take, you know, maybe I'll go get one of those high-def pads that work so well and just watch regular TV for a while or listen to podcasts or I don't know, right? Don't you think?
You can get 80 channels on almost all those cheap little flat antennas or dynamite.
Those are great. They're ridiculous, actually.
I know. It uses some sort of fractal technique. And it gets incredible range. And they're only $10. I mean, I have a bunch of extra ones because it's just astonishing how well they
bought,
work.
I bought a Fire Stick and I got one of those free.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, and if you return the Fire Stick, they gave it to you free, so you don't have to return that.
Yeah.
A little trick of the trade there. But I think that's when this all changes. The whole subscription model changes. If there's a change in the economy, and it'll hit them very hard. Because, like, for example, Microsoft or Salesforce, these are all seat driven in the, you know, in the business world. So now all of a sudden you have more people working. What happens with more people working? That person needs a Microsoft subscription, whether it's Windows or Word or whatever you're using, right? If you have, yes. And so if you have less people working, that's where your problems come in. Because now all of a sudden those seats are not needed and you just cut them. Salesforce, it's per seat, per person. That's how they get paid. So if you have less people working, they take it down. So from a business side, you have all those services that are related to businesses that could really suffer. from now, there's some things that you have to have potentially. I mean, for example, DocuSign. You've worked with DocuSign?
Yeah.
Dynamite program. Fantastic. I was thinking to myself, once you get in there, once you get into DocuSign, you never want to leave DocuSign. It's not that expensive, but man, it saves you time. Like you can't imagine sending things like filling something out, scanning it, sending it back, getting it scanned, getting it signed. As long as a DocuSign e-sign is an acceptable contractual and it's authorized by whatever party you're using, what a great tool. And why would you ever give that kind of thing up? But you know what? That $40 that I paid per month, maybe you go back to the old system, you know, free emails and scanning. So it's sticky once you get in there. But if things happen, there's certain ways to cut, and you got to figure out what you're actually cutting. Anyway, on from there.
Yeah, no, I think there. Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of stuff that can be cut.
But I mean,
I don't think Netflix is a good example of something that's probably not cuttable.
I wouldn't cut Netflix for one reason. If it was me personally, if I was the only one on the account, I would cut it.
Exactly. What you're about to say is exactly the same thing I would say.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Your whole family is on the account.
Right.
Even though it turns out I ran into this. In fact, two people can be using the account at the same time.
I have four. Yes, I have a five pack.
Oh, you have one that allows for multiple users?
Yeah, five pack.
Oh. No, I don't. I have a regular one.
Right. You pay a little bit less. You pay $12.99. I pay $14.99.
Yeah. I don't watch it that much.
I hardly watch it. I mean, I watch a few things here and there, and I find the latest stuff, the most recent stuff they're putting out is horrible. It's low budget, low cost, low entertainment value. It's almost like, you know, every once in a while, you can go to Broadway and see one of those one-person shows.
Yes, it's a one-man show.
Right, well, they're entertaining, they're good. But can you imagine always doing that? That's kind of like what the new Netflix stuff is. It's like a one-setting show that they extend over, you know, an hour and a half.
Yeah, too long.
Oh, some of that stuff is terrible.
Now, one of the subscription services I use, and it's one I could give up, is the Sling TV.
Right.
Which works.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't work as well on Wi-Fi and a Roku box. So the Roku boxes are pretty flaky of late. But yeah, but I have it for one reason, really. It's just for the for basketball, so I can watch the Warriors go through the season and the playoffs.
Would you give up your Amazon Prime membership?
Because I buy so much from Amazon and rely on it for, I mean, I could probably get by without the cinema stuff, but I probably wouldn't get by. I probably wouldn't give that up.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. I like their, if you ever use their Amazon Prime Music app for your phone?
No.
Oh,
I don't carry a phone.
It's free. It's included.
Oh, great.
So you get you get the video, you get the Amazon, you get the next day or the same day or the two-day delivery. They go on a next-day delivery as a standard coming up soon. And you get the potential for a Whole Foods discount, which never happens, but you get that potential at least.
No, I get it. I get a Whole Foods discount once in a while.
Right. So, I mean, I
would yellow tags, you can tell.
I would not give up my Amazon, although I am personally short Amazon stock right now. But I wouldn't give up my Amazon. So... Plus, not to mention the fact the only thing that Amazon could have a problem with is their AWS, right? So it's the same thing that the more space you need, the more employees you have, the more business you're doing, the more space you need, the more potential for that. Now, they could also gain a lot there because it's a very cheap option. I mean, I back up every night. I mean, I can't tell you how many gigs I back up throughout a month, and my bill is like $4.22.
Yeah, it's a good system.
Cheap solution. Google came out with earnings as well this week. Report that earnings of $9.50 per share, which included a $1.7 billion fine from the EU. So the EPS, excluding the fine, would have been $11.90. And the expectations were for $10.44. So they missed, actually, on earnings. Revenues rose 16.7% year over year to $36.34 billion, but there was a $37.36 billion estimate out there. One of the good things happened is that their traffic acquisition cost went down significantly. Their Google advertising revenue was up 15%, paid clicks down 9%, cost per click was up 6%. So I see cost per click was up 6%, but their traffic acquisition cost margin was better. It's a little weird. Cost per impression was down 14%. So that's obviously the money they're getting in. Operating margin was 18% ex fine, or 23% with the fine. Ex fine, operating margin, that seems backwards, doesn't it? Operating margin would be better without the fine. Stock was down 8%. Worst day since 2012. So there goes some wonder and pondering who got the advertising. You know, why, where to go?
I mean, that's a good point.
So, and then at the same time, you saw not as bad, but definitely not as bad. But Facebook numbers came out. And I was really, I don't know. Some of this is going to come back to haunt them, in my opinion, because of all the fines they have and the set-asides they have and all this privacy. The big thing they announced today was a messaging app for your desktop, Mac and PC, where you could do like a Skype, kind of like a Skype. We could do multiple calls with like a multiple FaceTime call for the desktop.
Yeah, it sounds like Skype.
Yeah. Uber IPO is coming. The Uber IPO, the estimated valuation for Uber and for the value for the IPO was cut down about 20% after the latest valuation due to the poor performance of Lyft. And they're going to be targeting somewhere about $44 to $50 per share for its IPO. They're going to be selling 180 million shares with a further 27 million shares sold by insiders. So upwards of about 200 million shares.
Yeah, get out while you can.
Mm-hmm. They also reported a net loss attributable to the company for the first quarter of 2019, for the first quarter, about $1 billion on revenue of $3 billion. So I'm just thinking out loud here for a second. What is the story with a $3 billion overall revenue and a $1 billion net loss? That's a pretty bad business, isn't it? And why can't they make money? What am I missing here?
Well, it seems that from the basic thesis, the original way of making money, which is just to connect buyer and seller and take a piece of the action, and on today's modern computer equipment and networking gear, which shouldn't have as much overhead as it would have in the 1940s, I have no idea. There's something wrong with their numbers.
It makes no sense to me. It would seem to me logical. Is it possible that there is such a need to continually update their software? They need so much technical on the technical side. Yes, I can see an update, but $1 billion loss in a quarter on $3 billion of rev. I just don't understand it. That's a $4 billion spend, right? Doesn't that mean a $4 billion spend?
Yeah. On what?
In a quarter. That's a $16 billion spend a year.
Yeah. On what?
And why? Now, they'll get some money in their coffers here through this sale, so they'll have a lot more money they can burn through, right? And maybe they'll, I don't know what they're going to do. You know, Uber Eats is a money loser. Everybody's talking about how Uber has a lot more outlets than Lyft does. Lyft has their little scooters and stuff. And I guess everybody's hoping about somehow, maybe if you cut out the drivers and you have autonomous vehicles, that maybe then it will be profitable. But
that sounds like a higher cost.
It seems like, yeah, you got to buy the cars, right?
Yeah.
Unless you have a leasing deal of it, you know, that we can pool and buy. So you and I could buy, you know, a fleet. But then you got to pay me too. So what's the difference?
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. WeWork is IPOs coming as well.
By the way, you did get my number for Lyft, right?
I didn't look at it yet, but I'll grab it.
Okay.
WeWork, the IPO is coming. I think it's just called like We Now, or just called Work, or something like that. Another company losing an incredible amount of money. So I don't know, when do you become profitable at this point?
Well,
you know?
let's talk about that for a second. Are you familiar with WeWork?
Yes.
Have you ever been to one of their operations? You know, taking a look inside?
I've not. I've seen a lot of videos. There seems to be a lot of napping, coffee drinking, lactation, and people gathering in areas
there's a lot
that,
of that.
And no privacy, no freaking privacy.
This is not a new idea. There have been these since I remember these in the 70s and 80s and 90s. There were these companies that set up shop as a work, rent a space.
Yep. Office sharing.
Rent an office space so you can have there'd be a secretary. Someone could come in. I'd like to go see, you know, Mr. Dvorak. And, oh, yes, he's in his office. And it makes it look like a big operation.
Right.
When, in fact, you're just renting the one office space, one door, and one desk. And meanwhile, there's people buzzing around. And it's just kind of a rental business. It's a rental business for people who don't want to actually set up shop. How can you lose money on this?
I mean, I looked at some of these offices, and to be honest with you, a office, now, you get a lot more there. So you don't have to do anything, right? You don't need to worry about necessarily air conditioning. You have it all taken, the janitorial, all this is taken care of for you, right? You know, outside your office, maybe a little bit inside your office. And you have a conference room that you could use, so you can do that. But I think they upcharge you on certain conference rooms too. There's like a certain limitation on this, depending on the company you have. There's a couple of different companies out there like this. But the office was more expensive by a large margin than a square foot office if I had my own office.
Yeah. Yeah. You can buy, there are cheap office spaces that you can rent. And you get a lot more room. It doesn't look as fancy. You don't have a secretary or receptionist or whatever it is. And you don't have as many ferns. It's a little.
Right. And you don't have the nap room, and you don't have the supposed, you know, the thing that looks so great on videos, all these people talking to each other around there, sharing ideas. That was a big, you know, it's a big thing, the sharing of ideas. I'm like, listen.
Oh, yeah. You want to share ideas, even though you probably have no business. I mean, the two businesses aren't even related.
Right. And this, I think.
It just sounds like a place to waste your time.
My wife said you should go to one of these WeWorks. They're beautiful and all that. And all these people around them. I don't want all those people. What am I going to do with all those people?
It's more for socializing.
That's what
it sounds
like. It's like a daytime party.
Yeah.
You know,
a mixer.
It starts at 10 o'clock probably with some whiteboard somewhere with what we're ordering in.
Yeah.
You know?
We're trying a new restaurant this time. Anybody in? Who's in?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Andrew, what you doing? You know, I'm going to the coffee machine. You want to come? No, I'm doing stuff. Leave me alone. And then, you know, then the other problem is a lot of these places, you know, are like a lot of glass around there. So the privacy, you could close to get some areas that are more private than others. But, you know, and then the offices, and then, like I said, the conference rooms, and you've got the scheduling software. You know, they have to make it so intense versus just, you know, if you just went to work and you sat there and you had a desk, you know, and of course you probably have to have a stand-up desk, which I just ordered. I ordered one of those adjustable stand-up desks, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I'll probably never use
it. Curry podcasts on a stand-up desk. A lot of people do.
Yeah. So, you know, you have a stand-up desk and you probably have like, you know, some of these stand-up desks have hammocks underneath them now. You can hang a hammock underneath
them. I've not seen such a thing. Yes. Would you put a cat or a dog in it?
No, you can put yourself in it.
This can't be, how big is this desk?
A desk is whatever, 6 feet long. So you put a hammock underneath, you get there, and then you push the button, it raises you up. I swear, I'm not kidding.
It's like George Costanza's desk when he was working at
the Yankees. Worked underneath, right. But you have that going on. You have these, you know, a little bicycle thing underneath your desk. That's the kind of place. You have like a little pedal thing under your desk that probably generates the light in your office. They're so busy doing everything else but working. You know, everything else is like the process of I'm preparing to work.
I know people that are all in on these operations, these WeWork things, and they get their debt, you know, like writers, and they don't get anything done. From what I can tell, they're talking a big game. Oh, we've got to go into the office. You know, why don't you just write at home? Oh, no, no, I need a space. And the space is just violated. It's, you can work at home with three young kids and have less distractions.
I foresee, this is terrible, but I foresee these big WeWork places with, you know, all these people kind of clicking around and stuff becoming like the old post office hate crime stops in the future. Remember everybody say, why is there so many people getting killed at the work at the post office? Remember that?
Yeah.
People would always go in there and gun down.
Going postal.
Yeah, going postal. That was it, right? Well, now everybody's going to be going shared office. Probably get them crazy after a while. Yeah. All right, what else is going on here? The VIX, betting that Wall Street's calm will last for a long time out. Hedge funds are shorting the Chicago Board of Options Trade Volatility Index, or the VIX, or the so-called fear gauge, at ratios not seen in the last 15 years. You know what that means?
Well, it means a number of things.
Well, you know what it means to me.
Well, what is it? It means to you, it means it's a good time to go long on the VIX?
Correct. This is exactly what happened last week, and I'll tell you, I saw a piece that showed me the numbers of net longs on oil. This drives right to the next line here. And I said, you know what? We have all these longs in oil, one of the highest levels of open interest in oil contracts on the long side. And oil's going up and up. Trump is going to say something because he doesn't like when oil goes up. And guess what he did?
He said something.
Here it is. You can see this on the show notes for episode number 454 on dhunplugged.com. And there's a little link there that says Trump on oil. This is last week. You can look at the date stamp, April 26th. He said, I spoke to Saudi Arabia. I guess he spoke to the whole country, but he spoke to Saudi Arabia and others about increasing oil flow. All are in agreement. The California gas tax is causing big problems on pricing for that stake. Speak to your governor about reducing. Economic numbers, 3.2 for what is worst in the quarter, for what is often the worst quarter, looking good. Point, though, is he said very clearly that he spoke to Saudi Arabia and others, and meaning OPEC, that they're going to increase. Everybody agreed. Yep. Now, that was on the 26th. What happened? Oil shot down 4%. We had a nice big short position on oil right before that for our client portfolios on the our aggressive trading accounts. And we made a nice little 15% profit real quick. Gone, done, sold. Now, why? Because I saw that and I said, that's BS. There's no way that they did that. Here's the reality. April 30th, 4 days later, Saudi Arabia says a key deal between producers to withhold output could be extended beyond June to cover all of 2019. And they all denied having any conversation with Trump. This is the kind of world we'll live in.
Jeez. Yeah.
It's all
well,
about.
Well, you got to be nimble.
You have to be nimble, and you have to realize that there's a lot of things that are said, and whether you like Trump or don't, but here's the thing. He says a lot of things that are not exactly, let's just say, fully accurate. And he'll say things and use a bit of a Machiavellian approach to it to persuade markets, like the China deal's coming, the China deal's looking good, everything's looking good. I just talked to them, which may not really be factual. You have to try to screen out what could be. But it was so obvious as oil was going up last week and it was starting to really bank up higher and all these longs were getting in there, it was so obvious that Trump was going to say something about this. Keep your ears open for that.
Nice. That's a great, great catch.
Here's a quick PSA. Smoking will be prohibited at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, water parks, ESPN's Wide World of Sports Complex, and Downtown Disney in California. Those who want to smoke will only be allowed to do so outside the park's entrances, as well as Disney Springs in Florida. So I guess Disney Springs is going to be smoker's haven.
What is with Disney Springs? I'm not even sure what that is.
I don't know. Let me look this up. I think it's a hotel.
I don't think it's a hotel. I think it's like one of those little mini areas.
It's a
like
shopping there. And dining and entertainment complex. Oh, I think this is the old, Disney downtown. This is the old downtown Disney. Let me see if that's right. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's the old downtown Disney. Yep. That's what it is. Okay. The old downtown Disney. So it's a place with all sorts of restaurants and bars and places and things.
Yeah, discos.
Yep. So you can smoke there if you want. Smoke them if you have them, but not at Disneyland. Now, I wonder what's going to happen with vaping.
Ah.
I mean, I
was vaping included in this ban?
I don't know, but people don't look at vaping like smoking.
Yeah, well, I do.
Here's a big update for you. It's something important you need to know because I know this is all you. This is so you, Mr. California. Burger King said on Monday that its month-long test of the Impossible Whopper at 59 restaurants in St. Louis has gone so well that it'll start testing in additional markets. In fact, the company said it may expand sales nationally by the end of the year. This is that fake burger.
Yeah, made from fake meat.
Fake meat or vegetables or some veggie something or other.
I was at Whole Foods yesterday.
Yeah.
And in the freezer area, the look-down freezer, there was this stuff. Oh, I take it back. This is a Berkeley Bowl, which was yesterday. So you look down in there, and there's this – looks like a hamburger. Looks just like a hamburger, and it's called an all plant matter or some kind of a fake hamburger, but it looks, you know, just like it doesn't have any different look. And it's like they're expensive.
Yeah, naturally. They probably actually cost half the price to make.
Yeah, probably cost half the price. They sell for twice as much.
Did you look to see what was inside of it? Like what were the ingredients?
Oh, I was too busy.
Yeah.
More impressed with just the look of it.
Well, there's another fake burger coming out, or another fake burger company, Beyond Meat, is looking to IPO soon also. There's another one for you. A lot of crap coming out. A lot of dogs.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Markets, make money while you can. Elon Musk update. A federal judge on Monday approved the settlement, which was announced on Friday, potentially, but it was approved now, between Tesla and the Security Exchange Commission, stemming from his latest Twitter outbursts. According to the court filing, the two sides agreed to amend their original settlement to be more specific about exactly what type of statements Musk must have approved by lawyers before tweeting them. So he now has to have lawyers approve his tweets when he says certain things. Now, I don't know what that is. But I'm sure
this isn't going to work.
Yeah, the SEC is now obviously following Elon Musk.
Well, that's one way to get followers.
Yeah. He also made some bold claims in his I don't think we talked about this, but I listened to the earnings report last week. And, I listened to the conference call, and I listened to this because I just find it so captivatingly horrifying the last several times I've listened to it that I just can't stop. He made some bold claims regarding sales forecasts. Somebody asked him, hey, what do you think you're looking at? You know, you saw some slowdown and all this. What are you looking at next quarter? He says, yeah, I see that things are really picking up. We're projecting that this many cars will be built and this many cars will be shipped and blah, 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 blah. And the follow-up question was, oh, that's great. What are you basing that on? And he said, I just feel that. That's what he said. I just feel that. And as soon as he said that, I knew we got problems.
You think?
Yeah.
Gut feeling, boy.
Yep. By the way, just for those of you who are listening, the many, many, many thousands of listeners, we rely on you. We rely on you to help support the show.
Yeah, and top off the T-shirts.
Yeah, because we're getting there. But, you know, we give away these T-shirts for the DH Unplugged Close to the Pin and trophies and got servers and we got all sorts of stuff. So, you know, put it part of your subscription package. This is a skinny bundle, the DH skinny bundle. Put it in. You can do a recurring payment if you want to give $50 or $100. I don't know if you know this, but I personally write back everybody that donates every time they donate.
With a stock tip?
No.
No.
But we
you say hello?
I do say hello and thank you. Tell them they're awesome. Well,
that is sweet.
Yeah. I don't always do it for all the recurring ones, but a new recurring I always give it to, and anybody that gives just a donation. So I would love to tell you that we have enough money. We don't. We need you. And here's the point. The point is that this is part of your entertainment, education, information, hopefully somewhat of a profit center. And it's good to give back. It's important to give back. It's something that should be part of your weekly, monthly process. Things are good, hopefully, for you. Hopefully, we're helping out. If nothing else, entertaining. Give. Go over to the DH Unplugged. Click on the Donate tab. And please give right now. Don't wait, because you're going to forget. You know you're going to forget. So if you know, hey, Siri, remind me to donate to DH Unplugged. Hey, Alexa. So please do that right now. It's really important. We have coming up 3 days left, Friday this week. The Close to the Pin for Lyft will be closing for entries. And then the games start. You can check out that and who's close to the pin on a regular basis. It updates in real time.
Yep.
What is this about? Oh. Why did I say? Oh. This was a terrible video. I'm not sure why the video was done. I think it was for a lot of reasons, but also for effect, probably for a lawsuit. But the TSA seems to be taking away people's lithium batteries. You're aware of this, right?
I only heard about it. I don't know what they're up to.
Well, you can't have a lithium battery. Something about the heat they get off.
Then you can't carry in a laptop.
I guess there are certain things. That's probably why you have to separate it. Out of your bag, you have to put your laptop in that bin.
But what's that got to do with it?
I don't know. Maybe they scan for something different. I don't know. Why do you have to pull your laptop out?
Because there was a rumor back in the day of the shoe bomber that Al-Qaeda was putting bombs in laptops.
Oh, so now we have to pull it out for that. Well, yeah. It seems this guy, Stern Hodge, he was going on his vacation, celebrating his 43rd wedding anniversary. This is a guy who, I guess, lost an arm and a leg in in a work accident. And he was in the Calgary International Airport. Let's see. Because a security agent at the Calgary International Airport and United Airlines confiscated the batteries he needed to operate his portable scooter. There's this whole video of him showing him how he gets around on his vacation to get into the bathtub, into the bathroom, and all that without his scooter by dragging himself across the floor through the bathroom and telling us about how it was this horrible video. And I had a lot of questions about it, but not trying to beat down on someone who's disabled because I won't, but could have got a wheelchair. I mean, I know it's a terrible thing they took away his lithium batteries. I got that. Could have bought another set when he was there. Okay, he doesn't want to do that. But why would he spend like a whole vacation crawling around? And just a weird question. Was he taking he was showing how he had to crawl from his bed to the bathroom. Is he taking his portable scooter with the batteries, the 15 feet that it was from the bed to the bathroom? Why could he just get on it and just wheel himself over there? I'm so confused about this video.
Apparently.
Do I sound like a terrible person?
You're getting there.
I can go on a little bit more. I have a child with a disability, so I am very much disability aware and sensitive. But I didn't understand this whole video. It looked like they were really trying to, even though it was humiliating and all that, trying to pump some cash out of somebody.
It sounds like something. Yeah, it doesn't sound right.
All right, let us see what else we got here. Death by election. Okay. We only have a few more minutes left before we have to get to the stock, so I thought we'd go over some fun facts. I found these really cool fun facts.
And everybody loves fun facts.
Loves fun facts. Fun fact number one. Everybody should do this that's listening right now, because I know you're going to. Try to breathe and swallow at the same time. Can't do it.
I don't know. I just did it.
I don't know if you did it. No, because you got to close your throat off to swallow. How can you breathe? No, it doesn't work. All right, here's another one. It's also impossible to hum while holding your nose.
No, it's not.
It doesn't. It's not a full hum. A hum. I'm going to do it with my nose. Ready? It doesn't work so good.
you can't hum through your nose holding your nose. It's also impossible to talk if you have a gag down your throat. I mean, these are obvious.
Okay, here's another one. If you fold a piece of paper 42 times, it would reach the moon. Really? Is that real? Is that something?
Yeah, if you put it in a lunar capsule.
I don't understand that one. That one, I don't know. Here's one. Coconuts kill more people than sharks every year. Same thing with cows.
I believe that's – I don't know about the cows, but I know coconuts kill a lot of people.
And Russia –
they're called widowmakers. They're up in the tree and yeah. They fall and they hit you in the head and they kill you.
And Russia has a larger surface area than Pluto.
That could be.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the stocks. Let me take out my quick thing here. People in the chat room are worried about you that you have to watch the Warriors game. But you only have to watch the last 10 minutes anyway, so what's the difference? All right, this is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should always seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, and John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all of the names we discussed in this segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as additional important disclosures. There you go.
So we have three group red and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's our ratio up green.
Perfect.
But we got two of the two stocks that got kicked off, one gray, green and one red. Medtronic finally got booted for some reason. And then also Amaris, which I just put on, it's up. I made money, but it got booted from some dipsy due to some action, and it got kicked.
There was another stock. Is this right?
And that'd be annoying, by the way.
There's another stock. What was that one that I really liked the name that you had on here? What was that one? It was like some – where did it go? Oh, Aerojet Rocketdyne. Ooh, ARJD. Wait a second. I think you're going to have ARJD. I think it just came out with earnings tonight. And I think it's rocketing.
Good.
Let's see. Up 7% after hours.
Oh, good.
And then I want
well,
to
that see. was picked by me because of the charts that clearly indicated something was screwy. It was ready to go and ready to take off. I don't remember the specifics, but I have to go back and look at the charts again.
And you lambasted me last week about my very poor social media picks. Remember that one?
I did.
Yep. Snap short up 10%.
Yeah. Well, you know, if a clock has the right time at least two times a day.
Yeah, that's correct.
And this situation with your social media picks, if you do another one and it's successful.
Yeah, then we'll change.
I will renege on my commentary and I'll give you a kudos for being really good at social media investing.
Nice. I have one pick this week. It's an offbeat one. It's one that has been suffering dramatically. But
yeah, this is one of your faves.
No, it's not. Not at all.
Yeah. I think it is.
It is?
We talk about it.
We talk about it because the whole Oprah effect and all the things with that. Weight Watchers International. I happened to see, by the way, the other day, a Weight Watchers, a buddy of mine has lost. I was like, hey, how did you lose so much weight? Weight Watchers. I'm like, really? What are you doing? You're buying the food? What are you doing? Nope. They have an app. You just scan stuff. It tells you how many points it is. You eat what you want, you know, whatever it is, according to the app and blah, blah, blah. It's really easy. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So fast forward, I kind of looked at the stock and it wasn't doing so well. It was up 10% today. I'm thinking summer is coming. All the fatties want to get in shape.
And yeah, this is actually this theory that's in the little box there. I found fascinating. It's actually not bad.
Oh, you like this one? Well, let's see what happens. But I think you have, probably two seasons that could be good for Weight Watchers, right? You have the January, February-ish time frame. Everybody wants to go back on a diet after they've eaten themselves into, you know, total gluttony.
Yeah.
And then the summer. Because everybody lets themselves go after that. And they're like, uh-oh, I got to put on some kind of something that's going to be a little bit more revealing. and I might as well lose weight. So if there's an easy way and there's a good app to do it, what the heck? So I'm going to put Weight Watchers on the list. I think I'm going to have to, I'm going to put a 15% stop on there. 15%.
Well, that's kind of stuck. I don't know. Okay, you can do
it. I'll keep it at 10%. I'll stay by it. There we go.
You know, it's because you're always not a penny stock by any means.
Nope, not anymore. What do you got?
All right, well, that's I got nothing.
All right.
Been looking at this and that. I mean, I'm thinking of shorting Tesla on a momentum play.
Yep.
But I figure it's going to bounce around.
You shorted Tesla last, let me see, both of us. Both of us shorted Tesla on the 28th of February.
Yeah.
And we said just because it was a, we did it 301.78 and it was closed down at 279 for a 7.5% gain.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
But I'm going to sell, I'm going to have nothing for this show.
Okay. Well, we'll end it there and I will speak to you next week.
Okay. See you then.
Right, you've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.